From KCPW in Salt Lake City, I'm Jason Mathis with the Downtown Alliance, and this is Downtown SLC, a program that explores the people, places, and events that are shaping Utah's urban center. Parking is something we think about a lot downtown. Nobody comes downtown just to park, but when people do come downtown, when people do drive their cars downtown, we want their parking experience to be a positive one. How do we manage parking? How much should it cost? Where should it be located? What roles do private garages and lots play? How can we make parking a good experience when people come downtown? We'll be joined by Robin Hutchison, Salt Lake City's parking director, to talk about everyone's favorite subject, parking downtown. All that and more after the news. Good morning. I'm Jason Mathis with the Downtown Alliance, and this is Downtown SLC, a program that explores the people, places, and events that are shaping Utah's urban center. This morning, we're talking with Robin Hutchison, Salt Lake City's transportation director, about everyone's favorite subject, parking downtown. Robin, thank you so much for joining.
It's my pleasure, as always.
It's great to have you. We are good friends of Salt Lake City's parking and transportation. So parking downtown has undergone some significant changes recently. Maybe you can talk about what some of those changes have been.
Sure. We've done two big changes to parking. The first is very, very visible. It's the blue meters that you see out on the street. We installed those a little over a year ago. And we did it because more and more people want to pay with credit cards, and they want the ability to choose their payment medium. And these blue meters now allow us to do that. So that's more of an infrastructure change. The other change occurred last year, and that was how we enforce, the duration of force of enforcement, as well as the rates. Now, that's not been completely uncontroversial. There have been a lot of questions about it, and I try to explain to people when they ask me why. And it's because it's the healthiest thing for our downtown. We were seeing employees parking in on-street spaces from 6 p.m. on, which really prevented patrons and customers from visiting downtown businesses and restaurants. So we extended the enforcement hours till 8 o'clock, and that promotes the kind of turnover that our businesses need. The other thing we did is we adjusted our pricing. We want that kind of turnover, and pricing we know is related to that. Pricing we know is also related to creating that 15 to 20% of parking that's always available, the sweet spot. And quite honestly, we sort of came up to the level of our peer cities. In fact, we're still lower than most of our peer cities in the way we price for parking.
So I think it's helpful for people to understand there's like actually a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just like throwing darts at a dartboard saying, how about this? What about this? Right. Let's try this. But it is really strategic and it's thoughtful, and you guys are doing a good job of trying to understand what are the needs that downtown has. I know from the Downtown Alliance, we had concerns and complaints from lots of businesses. A great example is Squatters, who said, we love our servers, but they pull up at 5 o'clock right in front of Squatters, and then their car's there for the rest of the night, and there's no place for anybody to park. And it has been a change. Now you can actually drive around at 5 and 6 o'clock at night and find metered parking mm-hmm. right in front of restaurants that you might be going to. So is this set in stone? Will you always have, will we always do these hours and always have this sort of pricing structure? Or is this something that you're continuing to evaluate?
Yeah, it's a great question. We are always evaluating. We are always examining what's happening out on the ground with parking. And you asked earlier about strategy. There is definitely a strategy. There is a sweet spot where you have enough parking that is full, that you're meeting your city goals, but enough parking that is available that as a person coming downtown, you know that you're going to be able to find a spot. And that's, as I said, around 15 to 20% of spaces that are always free. Now, pricing plays a really big role in that. And in the coming years, we'll be examining how we're pricing. And if that's meeting the goals of our downtown community. Those are the biggest reasons we make changes to parking is for, number one, our downtown community, and number two, making it easier for those who come downtown. Nobody, Jason, you say this all the time. No one comes down just to park.
After, when you're in high school, maybe you come downtown just to park. But after high school, nobody does that anymore.
There's a reason people come downtown, and parking is simply the mechanism to be sure that people can access that reason they're coming downtown.
Right, right. So we worked together on a survey recently mm-hmm. to talk about how people actually feel about parking downtown. And we surveyed people in Salt Lake County and Davis County who were maybe more likely to be coming downtown than somebody in St. George or Logan. And it was a telephone survey done by a professional organization, so we're very comfortable with the findings. What surprised you about the way people feel about parking downtown?
That the blue meters are not the problem that we thought they were going to be. The biggest surprise was that people are used to the new system. That's not a complaint or a concern. I really thought we were going to hear that. We anticipated when we changed that infrastructure out that we would have a few years of really getting up to speed and doing a lot of education. But the response was almost like, you know, it's great. We can pay with a credit card. But we can't find the parking. So what we learned was something different than we thought. And we learned that most people who have a problem with, not everybody has a problem parking downtown. We learned that. But yeah. Those who do see some sort of issue with parking downtown, their main concern is they can't find the parking.
Yeah.
So that helps us tremendously because we can, in addition to making the infrastructure changes and some of the policy changes, we can do more education and wayfinding and really target what we heard about not being able to find parking. So that was my biggest surprise. What was your biggest surprise?
My biggest surprise, I think, was that people like the meters, but also they actually prefer to park in garages. Mm-hmm. I was really surprised about that because my assumption was people would drive around and around the block looking for a parking space because I've done that myself.
Mm-hmm.
And what we learned was that people actually prefer to park, and maybe it's because of the 5,000 new stalls at City Creek Center or because of familiarity at the Gateway where parking is, and in both of those locations, parking is free for the first hour. So I think I was surprised that people actually prefer parking in a garage and that, you're right, people were not confused by the blue meters. Mm-hmm. People are smarter maybe than I had given them credit for and had figured these out. And after they'd done it once or twice, they knew it.
Yeah.
One thing, and I'd like you to comment on this, mm-hmm. that was maybe disappointing is about quick pay with the new meters. And maybe you can talk a little bit about what the study found related to quick pay.
The study found that quick pay, which is the phone app, the pay by phone app, it found that people aren't really using it. Very low percentage using it, something like 6 or 7% people using QuickPay. It is a great feature, but if people aren't using it, we're not really able to capitalize on it. And it's not a convenience. But, you know, we'd like for people to first and foremost know that opportunity is out there to pay by phone and then get them the information so that they know how to pay by phone.
So let me try to address the situation right now on the air. If you are listening to this and you ever park downtown and you ever use a blue meter, mm-hmm. please go to your computer. What website should we send
parkingslc.com.
parkingslc.com. Sign up for quick pay and then you can have it available to you. It'll take you really just 2 minutes to do this. And then I am the worst at technology. I'm terrible, but it's so easy to just go up, scan mm-hmm. it with your phone mm-hmm. and walk away.
It's all I ever use.
It's once
the quick pay app.
Honestly,
once you register.
Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to oversell this. It is very convenient and
it'll
easy.
Give you a notice when you're running out of time and you can re-up your time up to the 2-hour time limit. It's really a great feature.
Yeah.
It's a great feature.
So it'll actually send you something and say you have 5 minutes left
yes.
on your meter.
Do you want to add more time?
Mm-hmm. Also, for people who are doing stuff for business, it sends you a receipt so you can actually keep track of the amount of money that you might be spending at the blue meters mm-hmm. and apply that to an expense account. So some people have liked it for that. We have a meeting downtown once a month with marketing organizations, and I asked people who are working downtown how many of you used QuickPay, and of 40 people who are really invested in downtown, really involved downtown, maybe 10% knew about it, and even a smaller number, I think two or three people were using them. I think they were all Downtown Alliance staff.
Mm-hmm.
So I made everybody get out their phone right then, get out a credit card, and the way that it works is you just scan it, and it goes to whatever credit card you assign it to.
Right.
It's so easy and so convenient. So mm-hmm. please, if you are within the sound of my voice, consider adopting the QuickPay application because it really is convenient and easy.
So I'm going to anticipate your next question if that's okay.
Please do.
Let's talk about parkingslc.com.
Okay.
If we learned from the survey that people have a hard time finding parking, we want to better utilize this great website, parkingslc.com. You can find information on there about how to pay for parking, but also where to pay for parking. There's an interactive map. You can pull it up before you start your trip and find an off-street lot or where on-street parking might be near the place that you're trying to go to. You can also pull it up on your phone, of course, not while driving.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To find information about parking before you come into the downtown area. It also tells you information about the hours of enforcement, about the rates, and it really is an excellent clearinghouse for parking information for downtown.
So parkingslc.com, this is a project we jointly developed. Mm-hmm. The Downtown Alliance and Salt Lake City have put together to help people understand where to park and how to park. And it's a great resource, as Robin has said. And we're always trying to make improvements to it. Eventually, I would love to have real-time information, and you'd know exactly mm-hmm. how many spots are available in every garage and on the street. We're not quite there yet. We still don't have flying cars, as I had been promised, by the year 2000 either. But we're moving in that direction to soon be able to have even increased technology for this. What have other cities done that can help us understand this dynamic of parking? Because every metropolitan area has parking as an issue or a question or concern even. What have other cities done that we can address and focus on?
There isn't a city in America where parking isn't an issue.
Yeah.
It's one of those necessary evils of a downtown and of a city. We're studying a few other communities right now. I think the most progressive areas are certainly San Francisco, which if you go to sfpark.org, there's an amazing video of what they're doing. What they're doing is variable pricing depending on how full a block face is. Mm-hmm. So the prices go up and down based on the availability of parking. The city of Seattle is doing something similar, only with a fraction of the investment. So San Francisco got a very sizable grant from the federal government to do some this real-time tracking. It's very expensive and maybe not the best return on investment if you're not getting that grant, but Seattle's able to do it without that grant.
And it's San Francisco, so what do they care?
And it's San Francisco, so what do they care? But Seattle's doing something similar where they're tracking the utilization on a block-by-block basis and adjusting rates in order to keep spaces open and available, that 15% occupancy. And those are two very, very progressive communities with parking and parking in their downtown. And we're watching them pretty closely to see if there are things that we can apply here.
Okay, excellent. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about what resources may be available and what are other transit options that people should be knowing about for the downtown area. So this is Downtown SLC. I'm Jason Mathis from the Downtown Alliance, and we will be back in just a moment. I'm Jason Mathis with the Downtown Alliance. This is Downtown SLC, a new radio show that talks about the people, the places, and the events that are helping to define Utah's urban center. Joining me today is Robin Hutchison, the Transportation Director for Salt Lake City, and dear friend, personally and of the Downtown Alliance, talking about everybody's favorite subject, the most interesting subject, parking in downtown Salt Lake City. We've talked a little bit about the fact that parking is part of every city across America. It's a question that everybody has. And so it's not unique that we're working through how to make parking effective and easy for people in our community. But parking isn't the only way to get downtown. Mm-hmm. And as the transportation director, you oversee lots of other options.
I do, yes.
Maybe you can talk a little bit about what are other ways to get downtown and that you don't always have to drive your car.
Well, everybody knows that we have a very robust and very successful transit system on the Wasatch Front. In fact, the Secretary of Transportation, Secretary Fox, was just here touring through our downtown and looking at transit. It carries about 25% of work trips every day.
Wow.
Into the downtown, and that is a tremendous resource for us. So if you think about that 25% and what that does for removing people who are driving alone in their cars. That makes a difference on congestion coming in and out of downtown. We are also seeing a surge in the number of people who are bicycling.
Yeah.
In part because of the infrastructure that we've added, in part because of what I believe is a social consciousness that is really washing over people here. Air quality is something that we think about and talk about all the time, and I think that creates that kind of social consciousness. And we will be continuing to improve our bicycle facilities coming in and out of the downtown to help encourage not only the Lycra-clad crowd, if you can say that quickly three times,
Lycra-clad
crowd, but also those who might be a little bit less comfortable right now, but would be more comfortable with a little bit more protection from autos. Think about it this way. For every person that you take out of their single-occupant vehicle, that's one less parking space that you need. It's one less car on the road. And for those who still drive, we will always have people who drive, or those who need to drive. There are always people who don't have the choice to ride a bike or do something different. Conditions will get better and easier.
Yeah.
So it's good for everyone.
Yeah.
It's good for everyone.
Well, we have, and we will do another entire show to talk about this at some point, but a fantastic bike share program that Robin
and
has
And I want to say, I'm going to jump in here. The very first question asked by the Secretary of Transportation, Secretary Fox, was, do you have bike share?
Wow.
And it was a proud moment for Mayor Becker to be able to answer. Thanks to our friends at the Downtown Alliance and Green Bike, Utah's own bike share brand, we do have a very, very successful bike share program. Just since day one, people have been riding these. But I rode it already once today.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's only 10 o'clock. I rode it once today.
That's awesome. Yeah. Are there other things you'd like people to know about what you're thinking about in terms of downtown transportation, downtown planning for the future? What other projects are in the works? What should people be anticipating over the next 5 and 10 years as our community changes, as more people live downtown, as more people live in the Wasatch Front? If you could forecast a little bit.
Sure. There is some very interesting literature coming out about demographics that's really going to change the way we travel. And what this literature says is that the so-called millennials, those who are maybe graduating from college right now or have come out of high school or are in the workforce, that are settling down and choosing where they want to live, they are not necessarily buying cars and driving cars. There's some recent articles that Auto Company is getting a little nervous, and they're doing some more advertising to entice that generation. But the truth is that they're not as excited about driving a car as they are about having a smartphone or a really cool computer. Mm-hmm. And they really want to live in an urban area. We see it more and more in our downtown. They are traveling in a different way. So over the next 15 to 20 years, the demand for the kinds of transportation, it's going to change. It's going to change. We'll always have people who are driving, but I believe that the demand for driving over the next 20 years will decrease in our urban areas. That may not hold true in our rural areas or other suburban areas, but in our urban areas, the demand for car travel, I believe, is going to decrease, and the demand for having a walkable, we haven't talked about walking, a walkable,
well, we will,
vibrant downtown, is that's really what people are going to want. So we're, as much as we're emphasizing encouraging transit use and making bicycling more available, we're also committing to having a walkable downtown, walking first.
So what a wonderful segue to talk about walking. What does it take to make a walkable downtown? I sold my car about 16 years ago, and we have been my wife and I weren't married at the time, but we shared a car and have been a one-car family ever since then. And it can be inconvenient at times, but I figure I've saved, you know, $300-$400 a month for 15 years on what I would have paid for a car payment and insurance and gas and maintenance. So I walk every place, or take Green Bike now that's an option for the downtown area, or take Trax in the downtown area. So I walk every place, but sometimes people tell me downtown isn't always very walkable. The sections of it, Main Street is really walkable, Broadway can be really walkable, but lots of sections of our downtown are not walkable. How can we fix that? What can we do to encourage people to get out of their cars and walk around a little bit?
Well, I want to say that part of my job is safety.
Yeah.
And it's a significant amount of our effort in transportation and the transportation division in Salt Lake City. And safety for pedestrians is something that we are continually trying to improve. So the first thing we have to do is provide a safe environment for pedestrians to cross. You'll see popping up over the next year more of the pedestrian flashing signs.
Yeah.
We're installing 8 new ones in the downtown alone this year to provide more visibility for the pedestrians. I don't think you knew that. That's the first time you're hearing about this.
That's
okay,
awesome.
So Jason, we're putting in
eight new
pedestrian flashers over the next year in the downtown area, and that's for better visibility so the drivers can see pedestrians in a better way. But there's a lot of other things that we can be looking at for pedestrians. Sidewalk quality makes a big difference. Some people are on sidewalks because they're rolling. They're in a wheelchair, or they have a stroller. So sidewalk quality is really important. We are discussing always the relationship between cyclists and pedestrians on the sidewalk. Right now, it is not legal to ride your bicycle on a sidewalk in the Central Business District.
I did know that, but I do not always follow that law.
Well, you could be fine.
I know. I'm taking my chances.
Okay. Other things, shade.
Shade.
Shade is very important for walking, so increasing the tree canopy.
Especially this time of year.
Yes, especially when it's hot out.
Yeah. Well, I as a walker, let me thank you also for the Hawk lights that have gone in. So these are the big overpass lights. There's one that went in on State Street. I don't know if you did that or UDOT did that.
So State Street is UDOT. We work very closely with UDOT. They've been extremely cooperative through the downtown.
Yeah.
Well, in putting some of those things in. Capitol Theater is another one we did this year as well.
It's awesome. So thank you very much for that. It makes it much easier. Another aspect of transportation in the downtown area that I know you've been looking at is a streetcar system for downtown. Can you talk a little bit about what that's going to entail?
Yeah. I talked about the demographics changing and what we think people are going to want. There's also a very strong relationship between streetcars and business and economic development. We're building our first streetcar right now. We're looking at areas for expansion. The downtown is absolutely right on target for streetcar development. We are undertaking a study right now to look at the best way to do that. And it's part and parcel of a larger study to look at transit needs in our entire city. And we're very excited to move that forward. It will not only match what we think is coming for demographics, but will also serve as a great pedestrian extender, they're often called, and hopefully generate some great economic development in our downtown. So stay tuned for that. It's an exciting project.
We are all about economic development in the downtown. Robin, thank you so much for joining us. I enjoy working with you so much and think of you as a great friend and advocate for downtown, and you've brought such thoughtfulness and intelligence and activity to your position, and you're really one of the great things about downtown and what's working really well in our downtown today.
Well, you're very, very generous. We are grateful for the partnership with Downtown Alliance. You do a lot for the city, and it would not be the place without the work that you're doing. And you do a lot for transportation, so thank you right back to you.
Thank you. So join us every Thursday at 10 o'clock for Downtown SLC, where we'll be talking about the people, places, and events that are helping to shape our urban center.